It's been a few weeks since I've listened, so
That's okay.
I may be rusty.
Yeah.
I have full faith in him picking it up as we go.
Me too. I'm not worried at
Yeah.
all. I'm not worried at
Cool.
all. He answers to Jocelyn just like me.
This is the Citadel Cafe.
This is the Citadel Cafe, episode number 29, recorded live Thursday, July 26th, 2012. I am Joel Duggan of StarCrossedOnline.com. To my right, filling in for Peyton Francis this week, is Ryan Murphy from The Gamers Inn. Thanks for jumping in on such short notice, Ryan. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing really well. I'm sitting on a four-day weekend, took a couple days off.
Nice.
So this is great vacation.
Special occasion?
No, well, I worked for the government here in Canada, so I did a weekend event, so got some hours and decided to take a couple days off.
Very, very cool. Very, very cool. To my other right is Mr. Chad Merlin, and the only thing that you fine listeners need to know about Chad is that you don't need to know anything about Chad. How are you this evening, sir?
Hot and sweaty.
Oh, good. Oh, good. There's an image I didn't need after a long day.
I as soon as I said it, I thought of Good Morning Vietnam.
Nice. I haven't seen that movie in far too long.
That's something that needs to be brought out and dusted off and watched every once in a while.
Yes, I agree. I agree. If anybody out there is new to the Citadel Cafe, this is where we three come together to talk about the fun things that we've been into lately. We gravitate towards geeky sci-fi fantasy stuff, but we're not myopic. We cover everything from movies to television, books, apps, and websites. And it's been a couple weeks. We had a bit of a schedule conflict last week and couldn't get a show out there. And it actually kind of brings up something that I think I may have mentioned before, but just in case I haven't, the summer schedule is going to be a little bit helter-skelter these days because you get people going on vacation, you get people working late to make sure they can go on vacation. Tonight, Peyton happens to be feeling under the weather, so he was going to be here, but then couldn't at the last minute. And then... Chad, you're going to be actually be in Halifax sometime soon, so then there's not going to be any show at all. So there's
I don't know, man. I'm still rocking out the Helter Skelter. As soon as you said that, I thought of Beatles. Yeah, Helter Skelter.
Focus, Chad. Focus,
yeah, yes,
focus.
I'll be in Nova Scotia in 2 weeks.
Yes. So in 2 weeks' time, there won't be any show because we're all going to be hanging out in person with beer and not in front of microphones and Skype. So for anybody out there that's been listening for the run of TCC, we appreciate the ears and your patience as we kind of hit and miss the odd week here this summer. But I'm sure once the weather gets colder, we'll be quite happy to be inside and podcasting on our regular
under monitors.
Our regular Wednesday night time, which had to move. Why did it have to move? Well, this week, Jocelyn's parents were in town. So we did a lot of sightseeing and out for dinner, in for dinner, big family dinner stuff. So that's why I did not record last night because our usual time just was too close to dinner time and too close to saying goodbye because they were actually back on their way to Ontario this morning.
Did you just say big family dinner?
Yeah.
Moving along, buddy. Moving along. Moving along.
I'm not sure if that's a jab or a left hook.
Woo-hoo.
Yeah. No, it was a good time. I mean, I get along great with her parents. I mean, they're both really, really fun people. They have great senses of humor and stuff. So it was a lot of fun. And they haven't been down to Nova Scotia since 79. Which happens
That's
to be
the best year ever.
Best year ever to visit Nova Scotia is the year that I joined the Nova Scotian crew.
Wait
and yeah, so they I mean, it's been so long since they've been down here. Everything has changed, you know, so it was really cool and kind of cool for them. And they arrived just as the tall ship parade was happening. So they get to see some tall ships and stuff like that, which you don't get really to see in Ontario. So it was a cool way to spend the weekend. And I have to say, like, on a geeky note, I mean, I know my way around, but I know my way around just naturally. I don't know exit numbers. I don't know highway numbers. I know Peggy's Cove is south, and I know that, you know, Lawrencetown Beach is north or east, I guess.
Northeast, yeah.
Northeast. So my iPhone and maps, love it.
Yeah.
So simple. I mean, in the palm of your hand, always. I use my phone a bunch of times to get them around. Made me look like a superhero. You know, it was just me in the back seat with my iPhone, making sure that no one was making a wrong turn, figuring out how long we had to go. Although one thing that's missing from the map app is a scale. Like it just, there's no real way to tell how long you have before you're there. I mean, I'm guessing 45 minutes, and Jocelyn, who's the map expert, is like, no, it's more like a half an hour. It's like, okay, whatever. I'll go with you on this one.
Yeah, that's right. Because you can use it and you can, you know, obviously you can pinch and stuff to go in and out. Mm-hmm. But if you set like directions and plan your route, mm-hmm. It tells you distances between waypoints.
It does. It'll give you a distance, and then you got to do the math.
No, I suppose.
Figure out how fast you're going. Like, because, I mean, we took the old road because it's more scenic along the coast, but then it's only 70 kilometers an hour, not 110. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. It takes a little bit longer than most tourist maps will say. Only, you know, 40 minutes from Halifax. I'm kind of like, yeah, if you want to take the boring twin highway,
if you
want to take the coastal road.
When I was up back in Ontario for work back in October, Ryan, I went from Barrie, and I went to Guelph, but I went the back way.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are Ryan. Are you familiar with that? It's a lot of farms. No, okay, it's a lot of farms in this area, but it's all like just north, south, east, west, and cutting across. So I'm like, okay, well, if I go down the 400 and then I cut across to the 401, it'll take me twice as long because I'll be in traffic, I'm sure. Right, because it's the 401.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it works. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the confluence of two major rivers, and it's, you know, the silt that piles up. Well, that's the traffic that happens at that like juncture, right? So, it's when I said I'm going to cut across, but so here I'm like looking at my phone, you know, hands free driving, but I'm looking down at my phone, going, "Oh, it's this exit. Oh shit. Oh my god." You know, so there's positives and negatives to the iPhone. But,
yeah. Well, sure. I mean, I was the passenger. I mean, I was in the backseat dad. They had a rental that they brought down all of Jocelyn's leftover stuff, the stuff that didn't come with her suitcases when she moved down in June.
Right,
so they bought like her computer and her TV and a bunch of other things, winter clothes, things that she didn't need right away. So yeah, we spent a lot of time driving around and checking out some sites, which was nice. And I mean, as a result, I'm kind of behind. Like I haven't had the opportunity to watch podcasts. We haven't been watching a lot of TV or movies, only because there's just been a lot of family stuff. Like we went down to my mom's for dinner. We went out for brunch with my dad. So it was really cool. But I feel kind of out of touch on the geeky side of things, with the exception of this morning when I downloaded Mountain Lion for the Mac. $19.99. I can't believe how cheap that is. I have not installed it yet because I wanted to make sure I got the two podcasts I had to do tonight in the bag before mm-hmm. I go ahead and do that. But I've got the Time Machine backup all taken care of. Safety first. Mm-hmm. And then I'll be doing that later tonight. And I've heard nothing but praise from my friends that have installed it so far. Yes. So I'm looking forward to it.
Because
Lion has been a little mm-hmm. kludgy on my now 3-year-old Mac. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping that it's going to have a little bit of a speed performance. Ryan, have you installed Lion yet?
Or Mountain Lion? I meant to today. Like I have a new Mac, so I got the up-to-date program. So I had last night I went through all the filings, you know, I bought it here and I'm located here. You know, they send you a promo code so that to get it for free basically.
Oh right, because you bought the Mac so close to release date.
Yeah, that was one of the things I said to the guy, like, if I buy this today, am I gonna get it? I mean, it's a $20 upgrade. If I wasn't gonna get it for free, it wasn't a huge deal.
I paid $7 when I bought my Mac, because I got mine in June of 2009, and it went from Leopard to Snow Leopard, and so it cost me $7, I think. That's what they charged me. Yeah, so.
Nice.
Anyway, sorry to cut you off.
It's fine. I mean, I was just going to say that I haven't had a chance, like Joel. I mean, well, it's probably a good thing that I didn't start the install, because I was going to do it after dinner, and then I got your message. It's like, I can't, because I'm installing Mountain Lion, so, but no, I haven't, touched it yet.
So we have the same post-podcast plan then.
Ooh.
Maybe.
Great minds think alike, fools seldom differ.
Exactly.
You know why I didn't, you know what I said? I said, oh, I'm going to get Mountain Lion. And I went, what if Colloquy or Skype doesn't work for Wednesday night and I'm not going to be able to get it up in time? I'll wait until next week.
Yeah. No, I thought about that too, but and which is why I'm waiting. So, but I mean, so far I've heard everything works just fine. Because I mean, there's I think enough people complained about the jump from Snow Leopard to Lion, with a lot of the I can't remember if it's not sandboxing. It's something to do with the way that a certain program type is written. Ryan, do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, it actually is sandboxing.
Is it sandboxing? Oh, okay.
Yeah, they basically lock down the applications. I think that was one of the huge issues with Wiretap Anywhere, speaking of podcasting.
Yes.
As a
matter of fact, you're right, yeah.
And they actually said that they're going to fix it. So,
oh, good.
Like, So I guess Apple has developed some sort of workaround for Wiretap Anywhere, because when they made the jump from Snow Leopard, or sorry, Leopard to Snow Leopard, or wait, what?
No, Snow Leopard to Lion.
They're so similar. Sorry, yeah. Snow
yeah. They're all cats.
Exactly. Yeah. So small cat to big cat, Lion. They had this sandboxing, right? And I guess Wiretap couldn't get around it, and Apple didn't have a solid way to get around it, so... Yeah. Hopefully now it'll be all fixed.
Well, there's this option now in your settings, apparently, that you can choose to automatically allow only Apple certified apps, certificate or signed apps, or all apps, so that you can just have that option checkbox. And that way, if you're downloading stuff off the internet, you know that it's safe and approved, or, you know, certified to work well with Mountain Lion. I mean, so you have the option to turn it off, which is nice. But if you wanted to stay kind of like in the narrow tunnel that they want you in, you could turn it up to high and not have to worry about anything, you know, not working properly or crashing the system and stuff. So maybe that's one of the things that they allowed Wiretap Anywhere to work around with.
We can't find the registry file anymore.
Yeah, well, yeah, right?
How many times did that come up installing a game or something?
Yeah. Well, and the thing is that, I mean, with Apple and OS software becoming so popular now, I mean, they're starting to get, you know, virus attacks and malware. And so you can't just be I'm a Mac person, I don't have to worry about viruses anymore. Like, you just, you kind of have to be a little bit more wary of your web surfing and what programs you install and all that kind of stuff. So yeah. So what have you been up to, Ryan? Anything cool and geeky in the last week or so?
You know, I just basically got the new Mac and I've been trying to install stuff on it, but I have these weird, like, when it comes to tech, I have cold feet. And hopefully my girlfriend isn't listening. It just has to do with tech, I swear.
nice.
So, like, I bought it at Future Shop, and I still in the mindset that I may return it but it is such a vast improvement, and it's totally cut down on my work. I can get stuff done without the beach ball of death mocking me. Mm-hmm. So it's nice, and it's really made the podcast editing. It takes a half hour rather than an hour and a half.
Oh, God. GarageBand is a godsend. I love it.
Oh, yeah.
It took a little bit to get used to, but once you know what you're doing, like once you have a template down, it's so fun.
Yeah, I can just kind of boom, 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 export. And yeah. So it's really nice. Yeah.
Do you have Caffeine on your Mac?
No, I've never heard of that.
You should get Caffeine. It's just a little app that runs up in the taskbar that basically overrides your screensaver and your password settings. So you can still have a secure Mac where, you know, if it's awake for, you know, 20 minutes, it'll go to like a screen lock where you have to re-enter your password. But if you're gonna be in and out of the computer room, you're gonna be getting lunch or whatever, and you just don't want to log in every 15 minutes, you just hit this little coffee cup in the top right hand corner, and it says, you know, do you want to stay awake for 5 hours? Do you want the computer to be, you know, awake for an hour? Like, what's the deal? And it's really cool for if you've got something going, like defragmenting something or formatting a disk, and you don't want the computer to shut down and interrupt the process. So you just say, all right, well, this is only going to take, you know, an hour. So you set the computer to be on Caffeine for 2 hours, and then it just kind of goes to sleep later. It's a great little app. It's totally free. I'm almost 100% sure it's on the Mac App Store.
I'll have to check that out. I mean, that would be super useful just with, like, the only thing I do that takes... Like, I could walk away from it is basically editing the podcast and other stuff. Like, I don't use Photoshop, but I use an equivalent Pixelmator.
Yep.
Basically,
yeah, I'm familiar.
Like, yeah. And it would freeze constantly and crash, and files would get corrupted because my computer just couldn't handle it. I mean, I'm jumping up from a plastic black MacBook
that's
5 years old. So
still a cool MacBook, though.
Oh, yeah. I mean, It is cool, and I still have it, and I'll probably have it for a long time. I mean, I suck at moving files over. I've sort of just been doing it on a need-by-need basis, like moving a project over at a time, and that's probably not the best way to do it. But
well, you know, it's kind of like cleaning a garage. Like, I did that in January. I decided to format the hard drive of the computer down to nothing and reinstall Lion clean. And then from a backup, bring over all my files. But speaking with somebody at a Mac store, they said, well, you know, if you're going to reinstall from a Time Machine backup, you're basically going to install all the same crap. Like, it's really going to be a footprint. So he suggested just bringing over things one at a time. It takes longer, but what ends up happening is that you build a better filing system because you're just bringing things over as you need them. And I ended up ditching a lot of crap that I just didn't need. Or I, you know, over the course of the week, I was just like, you know, I want to keep this, but it doesn't need to be on my working hard drive. So then I got an extra external and I started putting a lot of this other stuff like a sound effect archive that I use but don't use all the time can be on an external drive. It doesn't need to be on my main system. So I find that it was a nice way to clean house that way.
Yeah, no, that's right. I mean, and 5 years is a long time to like build up apps that you never will touch again.
Yeah, apps and I mean, especially if, I mean, probably, I'm not sure if you do this with your work, but I mean, like I save sequentially when I'm working on my artwork. And I mean, I only need the last one that the client paid for. I don't need versions 1 through 25, right? But I forget they're there. And sometimes they're not huge files. Sometimes they're just like, especially if there's vector art. But I mean, you do that for 3 years and that adds up. You know, it's like all of a sudden you're like, I have 40 gigs of stuff on my hard drive I don't need. You know, but again, that just takes time. That's like the, like you said about going through files and folders and stuff like that. And if you're organized and everything's in its own folder, so it's like drilling down, it takes forever to sort through everything.
Yeah, but you're right. I mean, if I could have easily brought it all over. I mean, I'm going from a 160 hard drive to a 750 and it would all fit. And then I guess I could organize it then, but it's just, it makes more sense to do it one at a time.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Chad, do you have any features in Mountain Lion that you're looking forward to?
Well, I was really stoked for the AirPlay to go, the mirroring, desktop mirroring.
Oh, yeah.
And then I'd read like about 2 weeks ago that if you don't have a 2011 version or better, you will not be mirroring your desktop onto your Apple TV.
Really? Because I've seen so many people rave about how that's such a great feature, and none of the journalists that I'm reading are drawing the line that you have to have a 2011 MacBook or Mac Newer. Equivalent to do it. So is it desktop mirroring that you can and cannot do? Like, can you still AirPlay a video?
Yes, you can still AirPlay like pretty much normal. Anyway,
okay,
right?
So maybe that's the difference, is that you can't put you can't surf the net on your Apple TV.
Yeah, exactly. Like you can't, you it's, you know how, you know, we've hooked our, through our external, our video right?
The DVI, or not the DVI, yeah.
The mini port.
Mini display port, yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, we've done that and, you know, you probably still do that.
No,
I don't do it anymore either. But, you know, it's just a pain in the butt. But, that's what I'm saying. Like, well, you get mirroring and then you can do everything on the TV. But then I'm like, but I do everything on my phone now anyway.
Yeah.
You know, I can't justify an iPad now for myself. I mean, my wife would let me use hers, you know, ultimately, but I just don't feel the need. So if I want to listen to music or like, hey, look at these pictures, you know, that's all I need the Apple TV for anyway.
Yeah.
For that. So yeah. I don't know, for me.
I stopped hooking my computer up most of the time when I got the Apple TV, because between YouTube and Netflix, I mean, that was 90% of why I hooked the computer up to the TV in the first place.
Yep, exactly. Right? Yeah, exactly. So music and stuff. I do all my music. Like, I still have my amp has Bluetooth capability and I have Apple TV. So I don't go too much to the Bluetooth anymore. I did when I had problems with my Apple TV, but not anymore. So my Bluetooth on my amp is kind of going the way of the Dodo because of the Apple TV. So that was the one thing I was really looking forward to about Mountain Lion. Message will be cool. iMessage will be cool. Yeah. You know, if my wife wants to get me when I'm away on trips and stuff, that she can get me right on the computer instead of the phone if I'm doing that. You know, stuff like that is kind of cool. The notification center, the game center looks like it's going to be fun, you know, so we'll see about that.
I like the phone a lot, so I'm excited that the desktop is going to be a little bit more unified with the phone. I wish that they would fix the podcasts app that came out for...
Yeah, I never downloaded because...
And that's not great. I mean, you'd be better off with like Instacast or something.
Well, there was an update to that, wasn't there? The podcast app?
Oh, was there? I deleted it, so I didn't get the update notice because I rage quit. Oh. I was just like, bah, done.
It was just a day ago. I mean, I wasn't using it because I'm using Instacast, which has its own problems in terms of slowdown and whatnot. But from what the description said in the update, it sounded like they are trying to address some of the bigger issues.
Oh, cool. All right.
So you might want to revisit it.
I'll give it another go. I'll stick it in a folder somewhere and I'll try pull it over from time to time, see if it still works. I mean, Ryan, you and I were talking about this on Twitter. Like, I want to listen to podcasts on the Apple TV. I want to listen sometimes while I'm working with my MacBook, and I want to listen while I'm out on a bus on my phone. And there's no app that works between all three, like everything's separate, you know, like you even to do just the music app on the phone with iTunes, you still have to sync the damn phone. Like there's no, I mean, I don't need the file to be transferred over Wi-Fi. I just need the metadata to say he left off at 39 minutes and 45 seconds to go shoot to my phone. So that when I open up that, you know, that podcast, it starts where I left off. That's it.
Doesn't Netflix do that for you, doesn't it?
Netflix does it. Yeah, Netflix does it perfectly. You know, I remember how giddy I was when I figured that out. I remember going to bed one night, like I've fallen asleep on the couch, like, oh, I can't finish the rest of this movie, but I really want to see how it ends. So I stopped it. I said, well, it's Netflix. I didn't pay for this specific movie, you know, like I paid for the month, so I'm just going to go to bed. I woke up the next morning and thought, oh, I can finish that movie. I wonder if I can figure out where I was on Netflix. And I opened up Netflix on my phone in bed and it was like, would you like to start where you left off? Why, yes I would.
Yeah, done.
You're like, brilliant, you know. And there's just, you just can't quite do that yet with the podcast. I mean, I'm sure that once iCloud has all the kinks worked out, it's going to be really, really good. But I feel like Apple, I like the way they do things. Unfortunately, they just tend to be like, you know, a couple of years late to the game. It's like copy and paste for the iPhone. Like, you know, they do it and they do it well, but they didn't do it right away. And they got a lot of flack for it. So I feel like the podcasts app and the things that we're talking about, like, you know, syncing across devices is probably in the works, but they don't want to do it unless they can do it right. So Chad, have you been doing anything else besides just hunting around for mountain lion, or has it been kind of a quiet week?
It's been a quiet week on that front. Ultimately, like Thursday nights is the English movie night in town.
Okay.
And Spider-Man is this week.
Ooh.
And that's right now.
So you could be watching Spider-Man, but you're hanging out with
us. I could be watching Spider-Man. The guy who lives for movies and going to movies and basically have saved thousands of dollars by not going to see movies. Or finally, they finally figured this out, and now I could not go to see Spider-Man.
I hear it's not great anyway.
Oh, I still got to see it. I mean, God, I've seen worse. I saw the Green Lantern, for God's sake. So
yeah, that's true.
What were you saying, Ryan? What were you saying?
I was going to ask, how does English... I don't know if you guys have covered this on the podcast before, but you're in Quebec, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so they have like a movie night where they only play English movies?
Yeah, because like they get all the movies. All the regular movies come out on the same night as everybody else. It's just that instead of, you know, for instance, we'll use...
I'm here trying to think.
Well, yeah, no. It's all in French. It's all dubbed over, right? With guys from Quebec who do like the. Sometimes it's Quebec, sometimes it's France, but it's always dubbed in, and there is no subtitles or anything like that. And so all the titles of all the movies are all in French as well. So like the Dark Knight Rises, for instance, is the ascension of the Knight of Black, right? But it's you know, that's the ultimate translation, right?
Right.
With the Dark Knight Rises. I'm not going to do it because I just tried to say the first word and I couldn't even get it out because my accent is so horrible on it. So I'm not going to do that. But anyway, so that's how you deal with it. But I have made a pact with myself a long time ago that I will watch any movie in its original format as long as there's subtitles in English. I don't mind subtitles. I cannot stand dubbed in movies.
Oh, yeah, in the same way.
Even if it's English, I don't care. I don't want to watch it. I'll rather read the subtitles.
I find it off-putting as well.
Yeah, you don't get the actor's real true meaning. You get some guy in a booth, you know, like their meaning. So I always said, like, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, probably one of the first movies I ever saw that was, you know, that I can remember that I really enjoyed, and I didn't mind reading the podcasting, my God.
The subtitles,
Subtitles, thank you.
For me, the first one was Pan's Labyrinth.
Oh, okay,
was the first time that I was, you know, had to read subtitles on the Spanish film, because I think it was filmed in Spain, like not Mexico, but Spain, and it was it was a little bit much because of course they speak quite quickly and there was a lot to read. So the only thing I didn't like about that is because it's a very visual movie and you want to be looking at all the eye candy on the screen in terms of the world and the fantasy elements and stuff, but then you get to read you know, all the stuff that's happening. So it just, they balanced it out a little closer to the end. There was a little bit more happening on screen with no dialogue. And then the dialogue scenes were just basically talking heads. You weren't really missing much. So it worked out well at the end. But at the beginning of the movie, I was frustrated because I was trying to get a feel for, you know, like it's a period piece and, you know, feeling for the characters and stuff. But I couldn't read anybody because I wasn't looking at their face most of the time I was reading. and I'm a slow reader, so it's a little frustrating sometimes. But it's funny that you mentioned Hollywood, actually, because we've had 2 weeks since the last show. And in there, Jocelyn had a birthday.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Geeky boyfriend that I am, knowing that she likes the same sort of stuff, I surprised her and I took her to the Museum of Natural History here in Halifax, which happens to have an out of this world extraordinary costumes exhibit on the go. And I thought, you know, I mean, you hear about cool stuff like this all the time, but I'm like, it's Nova Scotia. How cool can it be, right? Yeah. Like nothing really, really cool ever comes here, you know, in terms of stuff like this. So I said, well, I know there's going to be some things that are good. And I knew that my dad had taken his girlfriend's grandkids. So I had kind of an inside scoop that it was worth, you know, going to see. Plus, it was like, you know, the admission to the Natural History Museum was low. I think we both got in for under $15 for the two of us. And of course, it's not just the one exhibit. You get to spend the whole, you know, the whole afternoon there. Mm. But the costume exhibit was basically all these costumes from famous sci-fi and fantasy movies, like the leather jacket from Terminator, the leather jacket and whip from Indiana Jones, George Clooney's Batman costume. And incidentally, George Clooney is not a big guy.
Did you want to tweak the nipples, though?
Yeah, look, Jocelyn almost, I think I didn't get a picture, but she was mimicking, giving him like a purple nurple through the glass. It's kind of funny. Captain Picard's uniform from TNG. Now, granted, this is like a spandexy type thing. He is also not a very big guy.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the pièce de résistance, Darth Vader. Who is a big guy. I understand the helmet puts a little couple inches on him, but either way, still, very big costume. And neat to see all of this stuff really up close. The other highlight was the lightsaber from Return of the Jedi, Empire Strikes Back.
Mm-hmm.
They had the lightsaber that Luke was using when he lost his hand.
And, the blue one.
The blue one. The one that would have been Anakin's, I guess.
Yeah.
Would have been a dad's. And it's all like die-cast metal. And you can see like the rivets and you can see the threaded spool that it was all put together on. It was very, very cool to see that kind of stuff up close.
Not plastic.
No, not. Well, this is the thing, right? I mean, everybody's used to the plastic toys that are everywhere now.
Yeah.
But this is a real looking thing. I thought it was pretty cool. And you could understand how the actors could really kind of get immersed into some of the sci-fi stuff in these costumes. Like there was a couple Klingon costumes there. It was really worth going to go see. So it's still going to be on. I think it's on until August 26th.
Oh, really?
So it'll still be going on when you're here. If you want to take a spin out or if you have the chance, I would say go ahead and do it. I haven't had a chance to post the pictures that I took on Facebook yet, but I will. One of the few things I will actually do on Facebook is post pictures from that. worth doing. So, well, I guess that kind of wraps up the small talk because I mean it's been a couple of weeks. We all had a little bit to say there. But anybody have anything that they've watched for the movies and video that they want to talk about? Chad, you sound like you've had a busy 2 weeks.
I've got a lot of stuff. You know me, I'm usually pretty quick on how I write in the show notes. This is I've got a few things written down here. Right? I was walking through Future Shop and the Blu-ray Alien Legacy for $40.
Nice.
All four of them. Yeah, I've been special editions, all of them. So I went, well, sold, plus two extra Blu-rays. Came home and I said to the wife, I said, you've never seen Aliens. And she goes, no, I haven't. You know, not like, oh, this sounds interesting. No. I have not. No, you haven't. Because, you know, with Prometheus and all that. And I said, well, you know, I'm going to end up probably getting Prometheus for my collection. So I got her, talked her into watching it. And I put the first one on. She was a little skeptical at first, you know, like Alien. Oh, it's scary and all that stuff. And, you know, she did jump a few times, but she really got into the first one. And, you know, and this is the thing, too, with Ridley Scott, James Cameron. These guys put out strong female characters, you know, so you want to get a strong woman into like a movie, you give them a strong female role model or heroine, you know, and they're in, you know. So she was right into it. I gotta say, with all the different ones, like she got in, she was really into the first one. She's really into the second one. The third one, I think she enjoyed a lot. But then the last one, I put it on. I didn't even want to put Resurrection on. I'm like, well, we don't have to watch it if you don't want to. She's just, I got to see where it goes. I'm like this movie, basically, it could have stopped after three.
I agree.
And four, like, horrible. So, Alien on the special edition, the first one, I'd never seen it before, the special edition version. And the only thing I can really say that was added to it was the captain, Dallas, Tom Skerritt, who was who was Viper in Top Gun.
Anyway, oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was the captain of the Nostromo. And there's a scene that was cut out of the original the theatrical release. Was he was cocooned in the cargo bay, and Ripley finds him, and he's like, kill me, kill me. Because he was in the air ducts looking for it, and it ended up grabbing him, right? So it cocooned him, and then she ended up killing him with the spoiler alert. She ends up killing him with a flamethrower. Because you already knew he was dead, right? Because the alien did get him. And then you could actually see that the alien was starting to convert the cargo hold into, like, you know, building the nest kind of thing. So that was really cool to see that. Aliens, I've seen I own the special edition on DVD, so... I don't know if you guys have ever seen the special edition of Aliens.
If I have, I was probably with you, and it was probably long enough that I don't really remember the details.
Okay, it's the only thing that Ryan, did you?
I'm remaining quiet because I haven't seen any of these movies.
Oh no, I'm sorry.
No, you're not spoiling anything. I may have seen them, like.
Or something,
In passing, like, you know how you put a movie on and it's like you're sitting in the side room. I don't know. It's hard to explain. It's like you're not watching it, but you were there.
Yeah,
I don't remember
The last time these things were popular, Ryan, too, you might have been a little bit too young to be in the room.
I think it was... I think we rented all four of them when Alien versus Predator came out.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. And I know, those are awful, but I have not seen the sequel to Alien versus Predator.
It was actually better than the first
one. Oh, really?
Movie. I mean, I thought so. I was more gory, so that's how you sold. That's how you sell me on that stuff. Make it more gory, and I'm in. So, with Aliens, there was an extra scene where they put in some these mini guns and talked more about who Ripley was, and, like, you know, she actually had a family kind of thing and things like that. Three is funny because Tywin Lannister from Game of Thrones is in it. He's like a main character that Ripley gets a little involved with. But at the very beginning of the movie, it shows him actually finding her washed up on the beach that she crash lands on. And that had never been in the original release, as well as the alien was actually in a dog in the original. And in this, the extended, they cut the dog out of it completely and put it in an ox.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, so because they had these oxen on this planet. And it was almost like it was secondary because, like, everybody's just like, oh, we found this ox dead. And Ripley's all concerned that everybody that died on her crash lander with her had it in them, right? So... it's just that's what she's sure, and it's just almost like secondary in the background that it's the ox that has it in it, right? So, and that's how it comes from. That was really cool. And then, well, Alien Resurrection, I'm not gonna get into that too much, but they basically showed Earth, and they never showed that in the original, and it's like Paris in ruins, but the director was French. But what I wanna talk about is that the first two were awesome. Ridley Scott, James Cameron, okay? Three was the wrap up, but David Fincher is the director of Seven, Fight Club, Social Network, The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. This guy's become known. These are like huge movies now, right? Mm-hmm. But this was like his first movie that he ever did, aside from like Madonna, one of Madonna's videos and a Michael Jackson video.
Right, first feature film.
Yeah, exactly. So
I didn't know that.
I just found that out by doing some research and stuff with the extended editions and everything like that, reading up. So I was really impressed. Alien Resurrection, however, was written by a guy who is very famous now, but not so much then. And I got to say, you know, you've seen it, Joel. He utterly dropped the ball with the script.
Yeah.
They put in some horror. You know who that guy is?
No.
Joss Whedon.
Are you serious?
I'm serious.
Oh, my God.
And that's
God.
Why I'm saying I think Joshlin's going to hate me because, wow, did he ever screw that friggin' franchise? Oh, man.
I did not know that.
I didn't know that.
One talks about that.
No.
I wonder why.
Joss Whedon. I went. No, that did not just say that. Just back up a little bit. Yep, that said that. Well, okay, like the director's the guy leading, you know, captain of the ship. But the writer's the navigator, man. He's putting you in places where, you know. Wow. Come on. Oh, horrible. Horrible. So there was nothing.
So who directed the fourth one?
A French guy's name. He didn't, really didn't
okay, the French guy. Yeah, the French guy's fine. That's all we can. We just need to separate him out from the other three. That's all.
Like, oh, stupid,
I did not
things.
Know that.
Ripley. The guy who played Hellboy. What was his name? The big guy.
Oh, Ron Perlman.
Yes. So he's in it, and he's walking along, and he's like just out of nowhere. Like they just had this. Somebody just died, and it was like kind of crazy, and then he's just like, "So Ripley, I hear like you." Saw these things before. What did you do? I died. You know, like, what? What the fuck?
Yeah.
How do you do? No, come on, man. Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, like, I mean, maybe it's one of those cases. Like, I remember an interview with one of the writers of Transformers 2
mm-hmm.
After the fact. And they were taking a lot of crap from, of course, the internet geek community, saying like, what were you thinking? Like, how on earth did you pass this movie off? And the guy was like, what you just saw was not my script. The script that I submitted and was approved was drastically changed by the director, Michael Bay, you know? So, I mean, the directors do have that power. So I don't know whether it was, you know, maybe Aliens 4 was too many spoons in the pot. Maybe it was also just Joss Whedon on an off day. I mean, not people aren't perfect all the time.
Well, it's one of his first things, man.
Yeah,
so.
well, it could be that too. Was that before Buffy or after?
I think it was 97 it came out, so he probably wrote it in 95.
Yeah, so Buffy would have come after. Because I think the first season of Buffy was like 97.
Maybe.
I want to say.
Maybe that's how
Jocelyn,
we got Buffy.
Jocelyn will correct me on that immediately. I'm still trying to get through the first season of Buffy. I can't do it.
Oh, God.
Yeah. She says it gets better. I mean, I like Firefly. It's an ensemble cast, you know, thing, and it just takes a while to get going, but whatever. You know what the hard thing about Buffy is? It's not the story. It's the culture of 1997 that makes me want to gouge my eyes out. That's what it is, right? It's teen pop culture in 97. I'm just like, boo, I was there. I don't need to go back.
Yeah.
Like that's, if it was
I never watched it then, and I would have probably been more able to associate more with it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I lived it. I don't want to go through it again.
Yeah, well, it's probably how like anybody that's our age that has older brothers and sisters, like that's why 80s is not big for them. It's because they were in it. They don't need to know about it again, you know. Ryan, what about you? What have you been watching this week?
Well, I guess I should have been watching Aliens. I need to get on that. But I've actually been watching the Batman movies. Just getting ready to see Dark Knight Rises. I'm going to be actually going on Saturday.
Nice.
So it's all planned and ready to go. Watching The Dark Knight tomorrow, because I have seen that more recently, but I hadn't seen Batman Begins probably since, I guess, when I went to see The Dark Knight in theaters. And I'm sort of reminded of how awesome that movie is, but how different it is from The Dark Knight in the sense that it's less serious. There's more jokey jokes. Mm-hmm. So a big one is like when he's in his tank and he's flying across the roofs, and they have the cops like,
oh,
he's in a tank.
Yeah.
He's flying. He's some kind of tank man or something. I think that might have been a movie awards reference. But anyways, yeah, it's just, you don't get that as much in The Dark Knight from what I recall. But
thank God, yes.
Yeah, but Batman Begins, it's just, I found I was sitting on the couch. I was actually watching it with my girlfriend Ashley, and I'm remembering scenes, and I'm saying lines before they happen, and she's like, stop it, you're ruining the movie. And I'm like, no, I'm Batman.
Yeah.
Don't swear to God, swear to me, you know?
Swear to me.
Yeah, that's why, and that's why we can't watch movies together anymore, so.
Yeah.
I want to say that.
Yeah, I actually watched, we did that too. I completely forgot that we had watched both Batman Begins and Dark Knight. I've got Dark Knight on Blu-ray and Batman Begins on DVD. And I like The Dark Knight better as a movie, but I like the Batman in Batman Begins better because he doesn't do the growly voice as much. He speaks softly, but he doesn't growl. And as much as it was still a great movie with The Dark Knight, the growling in rewatching drives me nuts.
Oh yeah.
It's like nails on a chalkboard. It's like, dude, really? Come on. Just be angry, not like Grover. Like, you know, just, I don't know. Isn't that
I wonder why
it's a psychotropic drug.
Sorry, why does Frank. He do that? I don't understand why he has to put on the growly voice. Like, they're probably going to know it's Bruce Wayne anyways. He's the only one that can afford all those gadgets. Yeah. I mean, what's the point? They're going to find out who you are anyways.
Yeah, well, I always liked the way that Kevin Conroy approached the Batman voices and Bruce Wayne voices in the cartoon, is that Batman is, you know, a little gruffer, but much closer to Kevin Conroy's natural voice, where then he then puts on a falsetto for Bruce Wayne. Like, he speaks higher and softer as Bruce Wayne rather than deeper and gruffer, you know, as Batman. It's Batman is much closer just to his natural speaking voice. I've been getting a lot of it in the Batman Arkham City video game, because of course all the same WB actors did the voices, and listening to it, I can really appreciate how much better a job they did with the cartoons compared to Christian Bale. Although Jocelyn pointed out watching Batman Begins that Bale's performance in Batman Begins was really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for everybody across the board, she thought he really stood out. I had some issues. Do you have these on Blu-ray, Ryan, or do you have them on DVD?
I watched both of them on Blu-ray. Actually, last time I was back at my parents, I kind of stole my older brother's copies and brought them home. So I was watching on Blu-rays, but I didn't really have any issues.
See, I've got the worst problem with The Dark Knight on Blu-ray. I don't get it with some of my other discs. It's just this one disc. And I found out by basically tweeting and complaining about it that there was lots of issues with the first run of Blu-rays. I mean, apparently they were pretty poorly made and people were having compression issues. Most of the complaints were, you know, complaining about Christopher Nolan's choice to switch between the 16:9 and the 1.85 for the big shots.
Mm-hmm.
But what I started to notice after I was made aware of it was that the compression is different too. The 1.85 shots where it fills the entire TV look great.
Oh yeah, amazing.
But the 16:9 shots are still high def, but you got all this like watery pixelation stuff happening on
especially in the shadows. Yeah,
people's cheeks and skin tones and contrast don't look right. And it really kind of makes you think, like, I'm watching a Blu-ray. I paid all this money to update my system. How to Train Your Dragon looks great. You know, Avatar looks fantastic. Even the people, like, not just the CG stuff. Mm-hmm. So why the hell can't The Dark Knight, you know, look this good? And after complaining on Twitter, I had somebody local here that's like a film blogger say, actually, there was lots of problems. And I got linked to like a Mashable article or something. And it's really nice to know that it's not like my system screwing things up.
Well, you know what, Joel? I think our Blu-rays are the same release.
Yes, they are. Yeah, I got it very early.
Because I think we watched my copy of The Dark Knight on your system.
You're right. I think we did.
Yeah, the very first time. And that was the only thing we could really put. I think the only problems we really noticed early on was the shadows on the cheeks and stuff when he was talking at night.
Yes.
Didn't look right on our system. But I personally haven't really had any problems. I haven't watched it a lot lately, but... I don't have the same problems. I thought at first when you mentioned it, I'm like, did you play with your settings and didn't realize? But I'm just wondering if maybe we just didn't pick it up the first time.
Yeah, it could be just the disc. The other thing too is that this is from a few years ago now, and as Blu-rays get better, you know the compression is going to get better. So movies that came out last summer are going to look a lot better than movies that came out two or three years ago. Yeah. And also. And this is my bad. This is my problem, is that I haven't upgraded the firmware on my TV or my DVD player because I can't figure out how. And I'm not stupid. Like, I've gone through step by step on the websites. I've followed the instructions and it doesn't effing work. Like, it won't recognize the thumb drive, nothing. Like, I don't know what the hell the problem is. Like,
okay. You've used the thumb drive or have you used the cable, direct cable?
I've tried both.
Okay, because I'm maxed out on my firmware updates. Like, when I bought my TV, mine was the 2009 run. Mm-hmm. I think yours was late 2008, and mine was the last run of the TV. So I didn't get the first update because it was already in the TV.
Right.
But I did get it again. I have a 100-foot 100-foot Cat 5 cable that I run from the modem to the TV,
right.
and it updated, and it was almost like turn it on, and it was like, hey, there it is, there's the internet, updated, there you go. And the same with the Blu-ray. I plugged it in, turned it on, and it updated automatically for me.
Yes,
yeah, I'll do anything.
Yeah, no, it didn't do any of that for me. I'm gonna have to try again. I mean, maybe something's changed that I can.
It speeds up loading, huge, man, huge.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure.
How do you know if your TV needs firmware updates? I've never updated the firmware on my TV before.
It won't come up. Obviously, if it's not connected to the internet,
right?
It's
like, of course.
Hey, there's a new internet. But you can go to the website. Like if you have a Samsung, like Joel and I have the same Sony TVs, you can just go to their website and they usually tell you when the last updates were for right. it.
And if you don't remember right. upgrading, then you're behind.
Yeah. Yeah. I've never upgraded. I have a Sharp Aquos or whatever. I should look into it. But yeah. In terms of a Blu-ray, I mean, I have the PS3. That's the only Blu-ray I have. And that thing's constantly having firmware updates. So
yeah, you're okay.
So maybe that's where I differ.
Yeah, you're probably okay.
You've got a 3D player, a 3D Blu-ray player, for God's sake, now.
Will it play 3D?
It will, yeah. There was a firmware update not too long. Well, that's what they said anyway. They said, yep, the next update is firmware will give you 3D wow. capabilities.
Now I need a 3D TV. I'm going to add that to the list.
One more thing.
Yeah, really, though. Speaking of Blu-rays, we haven't finished it yet, so I'm only going to speak about this as a recommendation to everybody, but Jocelyn and I started watching Coraline the other night after we were out and about, I think, in Peggy's Cove with her folks. We wanted to kind of come back and just kind of chill out and not really do anything, and we started watching Coraline, and, I mean, Blu-ray is great for a lot of things, but animation, especially stop-motion animation, it is fantastic. The film, if you're not familiar, is directed by Henry Selick. Most people will know his work from The Nightmare Before Christmas, where he was the animation director. And it's important to note that Coraline is not a Tim Burton film. It's a little it's a little odd, but it's based on an odd children's book. So it's kind of in that vein, but it's not like all gothed out like Tim Burton stuff usually is. We got about halfway through, maybe about two-thirds. And I'm going to leave all of our comments, I guess, until after, because I love it, but it's Jocelyn's first time viewing. So we'll have a little bit more feedback next time, rather than me just kind of gushing about it for the whole thing. You know, plus it would be nice for me to finish it, and because I'm picking up on a bunch of subtle things I didn't see before, so I can talk about all that next week. But Coraline on Blu-ray is definitely worth seeing if you have a Blu-ray player or even just a regular DVD player. It's a really, really good movie. And the other thing that we watched, which was now, geez, pushing 2 weeks ago, is Agora, which I've wanted to watch for a while. It's kind of like a love story about a period in, I guess, Rome in 390 AD. Technically, it's in Alexandria in Egypt. And I had saved it. I kind of had it on my Netflix watch list for like, you know, sometime when Joss and I were down, we didn't want to watch like just anything geeky or big action movie. We just kind of wanted something more subtle. And it stars Rachel Weisz, who I will watch in just about anything, and a bunch of folks that I didn't really recognize. But it's all about the dawn of power in Christianity, just recently legalized around 390 AD. And it's well acted, but it's not a very happy story. Weisz plays Hypatia, an astronomer and a philosopher, also a woman. Struggling with explaining the solar system and Earth's role in it. So it's this clash between how men and women were very, I mean, I guess you could say they were equal in ancient Rome, but they all had important roles. Women could be philosophers and teachers just as much as they could be mothers and other things back then. But Christianity really started to kind of demoralize that and blame, you know, Eve for the downfall of everything. So, I mean, it was kind of, it's not a very happy story, but still an interesting story. So if you're looking for kind of a piece of history, you know, it's worth watching. It's not an action movie. Like there's maybe a couple of squabbles in the streets with some riots and stuff, but it's not really, you know, swords and it's not like 300 or anything like that. But it's worth watching if you're kind of in a somber mood. It's well acted. I mean, like I said, it's, you know, Weisz is you know, really good in almost anything she does. But the director obviously felt strongly about this period and this story and wanted to communicate something to the audience. So it's kind of got that kind of art film feel to it. But I mean, it's on Netflix. So I mean, like, if you're already subscribing, you know, no harm, no foul. If you don't like it, you can always just stop. But I enjoyed it for what it was. I'm, you know, not something I'm going to watch every other night, but it's, it was good, you know, for something on Netflix that I've never heard of, you can have some real stinkers. And I mean, I would say, you know, 3.5 stars out of 5, maybe 4. You know, cool. It was good.
Okay.
I enjoyed it. I mean, the art direction was cool too. So you got, you know, lots of ancient Rome and architecture and obviously Egyptian architecture as well. So that was kind of cool.
Is it like a historical thing? Does it play history like close, or does it kind of go off the rails?
There's no proof that Hypatia was or did anything specific. She's mentioned in different, not scripture, but like as much history as can be gleaned from 390 AD, as an important member of the community and someone that was kind of an astronomer and a philosopher. So I don't think any of the deeds that she did in the movie are known for a fact. I think they probably just took the fact that she was a powerful woman at the dawn of Christianity and probably kind of ran with that a little bit, based on probably some stories they've heard about just the way women were treated in general. But they gave it a face. They gave it a personal story. And there's like a little love triangle in there too. And it comes off as a little confusing at first, but once you realize that the story is not really about the love triangle, it's almost like, it's like the Netflix description is like, you know, a young student has to choose between his teacher and his faith, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they make it sound like it's all going to be kind of what's those prim and proper English dramas where it's, you know, two star-crossed lovers that can never be because they're different class systems sort of stuff. Like, it makes it sound like it's going to be like that, and it's really more about the dawn of the Christian faith and the battle for women's rights loss of women's rights kind of at that time, kind of shrouded in a love story. Like, it's just, it's very loose, and it's a deeper movie than it lets on, which neither one of us were expecting. So we're kind of watching kind of, what did we get ourselves into? Like, we thought we were kind of watch not a romantic comedy, but you know, it's not The Notebook. Let me put it that way. You know, like,
thank God.
I just picture you two watching it, and out of nowhere, Joel's like, oh my God, I'm learning. You know, I find this stuff really interesting because in high school, some of my favorite classes were like ancient history that period of time where Christianity was illegal in Rome in that part of the world. And then suddenly it's like, yeah, it's all good. Let's legalize it. And that's an interesting shift in history that is really cool to look at.
There's outtakes from Gladiator where it actually shows Christians in the forum and in the Colosseum, and they set the lions to them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's just, and there's Russell Crowe looking out the window. Wow, geez, that looks like that sucks. Just moving along.
It's not a part of history that a lot of people know about. They just kind of assume that because it's this world power now.
Yeah.
They don't really consider that it was illegal at one point and people were persecuted and put to death. So
it's
interesting.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people don't stop to think that. I mean, at some point, according to, you know, the stories that everybody's following, that it was a dude and 12 of his buddies.
Yeah, well, maybe 13 of his buddies.
Well, yeah,
Christopher Moore.
If you follow Christopher Moore, then it could be 13. I mean, you can't forget about Biff.
Yeah,
that would be a sin.
Yeah,
to forget
that reference just went right over my head.
Sorry, man.
That's right. You already confessed to not listening to the last couple of weeks, so that's why you'll have to go back.
I listened to them, but I don't recall that. Maybe I was...
Nobody listens to me ever anyway, so...
I may have been deep in web content at that point and focusing. I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah, right on.
It's called Lamb, The Gospel According to Biff, Christ's Childhood Pal. It's just a book written by an author called Christopher Moore. It's his take on who Jesus was between when he was born until he was 30, you know, when there was nothing about him.
Yeah.
Anyway, cool. it's actually taught in theology classes, this book, because it's all complete, you know, humor and made up. And, you know, if you have to have a sense of humor about it, in order to read it. Like, if you're a very serious, devout, religious person, don't read it, because then it'll offend you first.
I have a sense of humor when it comes to that stuff. I'll check that out. Not to re-bring up the old show, but yeah, I'll check that out.
That's cool. Nice.
That's my bad for not paying attention to Chad.
The things you miss.
Yeah.
The things you miss. So Chad, do you have any music or Ryan, any music that you've been listening to this week? I've got nothing. I never listened to anything new.
Actually, I have. You guys are familiar with Jonathan Colton, right?
I am, yeah.
Okay. I'm not.
Oh, so he's this like geek music guy, and sort of like Paul and Storm are around the same lines.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I don't own any of his music, but you hear it all over the place, like YouTube videos and whatnot. I picked up one of his albums, Jonathan Colton Greatest Hit and 13 Other Songs. I thought that was a really creative title. And I've been listening. I actually went for a run today, and that was the soundtrack. And you know, that Code Monkey, Shop Vac.
I love Shop Vac.
Yeah, Re Your Brains. Actually, Shop Vac has a really cool music video that everyone should check out. It's like that text stuff.
It's like retro graphic design.
Yeah, it's got a term where like there's graphics and then like the text is animated, and it's really neat. Re Your Brains is a really good zombie song. It's probably the best zombie song ever written, I would say. And except for the, you know, Cranberries one, but or wait.
Okay, I was gonna say, how many other zombie songs are there? But apparently, yeah, that then you just clicked.
Yeah. And they have live versions of the two Portal songs, so Still Alive and then Want You Gone from the second one. But yeah, now I actually own one of his albums, so I got my geek card back from
nice.
That.
Nice. Geek card cred increase. Exactly. I'm a big sheepdogs fan, so that's about it for me. I think I mentioned that to you the other day, Joel.
You did, yeah. I haven't followed up, but I'll have to check this out.
YouTube, and then you could go to a previous show if you were listening to me and use YouTube Downloader.
Ooh, and then you'd have it.
Then you'd have it. This is the kind of song that you want playing when you walk into a room, because it just makes you feel badass. It is nice. Very simple, very like nothing to it. It's 2.5 minutes long, but it's just... The beat is there, and it's just doo-doom, and you're just into it. And yeah, so it's like that, and maybe, you know, Imperial March when you're feeling like you want to force
it. All depends on
your mood, right?
These guys are great. I actually saw them play live last month, and they do a really good live show.
Nice! Yeah.
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 What's their, cool. their main song is escaping me, but yeah, they put on a good rock show for sure.
Yeah, they made it on the cover of Rolling Stone, didn't they? And like, I mean, a lot of people in Canada were pushing. I know all the guys at TSN were pushing them.
Okay.
And but
well, if it's that kind of song, I can imagine it's probably played a lot at sporting events.
Oh no, this is brand new. This song just came out a couple. Like this hasn't the album hasn't even been released yet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this is their new one, but their previous stuff from like last year, a couple of years ago, is good too. Yeah. No, yeah, I recommend it. Sheepdogs, the way it is, it's a rock song. You'll like it.
Good to know. Well, this is normally where we would throw our email section, but we don't have any this week. If you'd like to write the show and give us your thoughts, maybe throw in a segment or a movie you'd like to recommend or a song, you can send the email to thecitadelcafe@gmail.com. You can also include a voicemail in MP3 format if you prefer. Please try to keep those 1 minute or less just to try to make it onto the show. If you want to do something longer, might I suggest a regular segment that we can play either in the middle or at the end of the show, which would be very cool to have too. You can also use the Twitter handle, The Citadel Cafe, to reach us in 140 characters or less. And if it's something that's trending, be sure to use the hashtag so it's easy for us to find it and for us to share it with the people that are interested in that. And we'll put that on the show too. So if you want, we could be reading your words right here at thecitadelcafe@gmail.com.
Wow, that's so crazy.
So the Internet Minute is the last part of the show where normally we have some internet picks, and I've been actually bad. I don't have mine in the in here, and I'm just going to write it in quick so people can see what I'm talking about, because it is something that I didn't want to mention in movies because it's not really much. It's just a teaser trailer, but finally, we get to see a little bit of what is planned for The Man of Steel, the upcoming Superman movie. with oh geez, I'm blanking on his name now.
The Cavill?
Henry Cavill, right? Yes.
Yeah, Henry Cavill.
Cavill. Yeah, he was in Tudors. That's all I remember. I mean, he's a good actor. I'm definitely on board with him as Superman. I mean, after some of the pictures that have been leaked online, I'm a little concerned about the suit looking kind of gray. But beyond that, I'm intrigued to see where this is going. I really hope it's not like 300. Like, I really don't want it to be over post-processed.
Oh, yes, or Spartacus even.
Yeah, like, I don't want it to be that, you know. So I hope it's not, you know, gratuitous with slow motion and all this kind of stuff. But so far, the teaser, which it's so hard to tell these days with teasers, but the teaser looks pretty good. I mean, obviously, there's some super stuff in it. There's obviously some soul searching and things happening, some character development. So it's not going to be just, you know, Superman rushes in and smashes and runs away. I hope they don't do yet another retelling. Like, I don't need to see Superman as a 10-year-old discovering that he can fly or, you know, lift a tractor. Like, I everybody knows that. You don't really need to show all that.
When they show the tractor scene, I'm so going to laugh. I'm going to laugh out loud because they're showing a tractor scene.
Yeah,
something's
going to happen. I mean, I'd be happy because, I mean, it's Diane Lane and Kevin Costner are his parents.
Yep.
So, I mean, I'd be even cool if they just kind of joke about it over the dinner table. Like, do you remember that time when you pulled the axle off the trailer? Like that kind of stuff would be okay. Mm-hmm. But I know it's kind of hard to see.
Russell Crowe is Jor-El.
So we'll see how it goes. I mean, the whole trailer, I mean, if you haven't seen it, we'll have the link in the show notes, but it's just the voiceover of Kevin Costner explaining about, you know, what, you know, Clark is going to be when he grows up. It's obviously, you know, him talking to a younger mm-hmm. Clark. And then of course at the end, there's a shot of Superman. I mean, it's very short. They really kind of like drag you along this whole trailer just to see one sonic boom. And then you're just like, oh really? That's it. That's all I get.
So there's two trailers, eh? There's two teasers.
Was there? Okay. So I've only seen the one. So see, this is how disconnected I've been for the last few days.
The other one is Russell Crowe as Jor-El.
Talking. Oh, okay, cool. I will have to go just searching
the
for that.
But it's the exact same trailer. It's two different voiceovers.
Oh, okay.
Are they?
Oh, sorry, Ryan.
I was going to say, are they available in an official capacity, or are you kind of just...
They're on my IMDb app on my phone. They're both there.
Yeah. Oh, good. No, I saw it on YouTube, and it was like an official, had the big green screen and stuff, and it wasn't like it was pirated or anything like that.
I mean, I'm not saying that I would still watch it. I mean, it's just a trailer, right? You're not hurting anybody.
Yeah,
exactly. But it was attached to The Dark Knight Rises, right? So I wasn't sure how long it would take them to get it up.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, and... Does it use the John Williams theme, or is it something completely different?
No, it's from the Lord of the Rings.
That was the thing that threw me off.
Really? Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I am so into the Lord of the Rings and have watched those movies so many times, like once a year sort of thing, that I recognize that music immediately.
Yeah, me too.
And it's got nothing to do with Superman in my head.
Yeah.
Like that. That comes on, and I'm immediately thinking about Gollum.
Yeah, that's true.
But like, is it like an orchestral piece that Lord of the Rings used, or is it a Lord of the Ring? Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay, good.
Absolutely.
It's near the end, I think, when they were thinking about when they were leaving at the end of Return of the King, isn't it? Isn't that the music?
No, that was happier. This is, I want to say this is like when...
Gandalf falls?
No, it's something to do with Sméagol and Gollum, like, thinking about killing the hobbits or taking them to Shelob or something. Like, it's really...
No, wasn't it when the two of them were on the side of the mountain and the lava was flowing and then the eagles came in?
No, that was, again, that was happier. This is more, like, dread. This is more... It was more the, like, the dark marshes and caves and stuff like that. Yeah, I can't remember where it's from. I'm sure... You know what? I bet you if you looked up the trailer on YouTube, it's in the comments somewhere. You know, someone has said, oh, this is from, you know, this minute of this movie or whatever. But yeah, I really feel like it's from, it's definitely Return of the King, but it's like the sad stuff at the beginning before you think they're going to win. It's nothing to do with anything happy, that's for sure. Because it's all kind of gray. Like, the whole trailer is just kind of mud.
It's pretty subtle, though, when the kid, he's got the towel around his neck and then he just kind of brings the arms up.
Yeah,
he puts his fists on his hips. That was pretty badass.
Yeah, I like some of the stuff that's going on.
Yeah,
and stuff. Ryan, what about you, sir? What do you have for a pick or two this week?
I got two here. One's actually related to my music choice, the Humble Music Bundle. They have just released this today where it's a pay what you want model and goes to charity or the artists, and it features six artists. And I paid $9 to unlock the, I guess if you pay over the average, you get an extra artist. So it includes the Jonathan Colton album I said. You got They Might Be Giants. Christopher Tin, which is a composer who did the Civ 4 opening cinematic music.
Oh, okay.
So and actually won a couple Grammys. I think that was the first time a song used in a video game had won a Grammy. So
oh, really?
That's interesting. And MC Frontalot, he's like this nerd rapper. I don't know. I'm not big on him, but whatever. And then you got OK Go, and it's just like it's a weird album where it's 12 songs, but there's four songs that are remixed four times. Does that work out? No. Three songs that are remixed four times.
There we go.
Yeah, sorry, math.
Yeah, me too. No, man, that's about the only one I know, though.
Four times. I didn't have a calculator handy, so. But yeah, it's interesting, and it's a pay what you want. It's on for another couple weeks, and I got to get my Humble Bundle mentioned in. It's not gaming related, so I thought I'd mention it here. And the other one is gaming related. It's Darksiders. I know. I had to get one in. I'm very sorry, guys.
That's all right, man. I've been playing more video games in the last month than I have in my entire life.
I know. I know. Jocelyn and I have talked about that. That's really good. She's rubbing off on you. That's really good.
Yeah.
This one I actually picked because I figured you'd enjoy it. It's Darksiders 2, Death Comes for Us All. Or Death Comes for All, and the game actually comes out August 14th, so this is kind of sort of a launch trailer, and it's got a really comic booky feel, where you play as Death, and the human race is extinct, and you're trying to save humanity. So I don't know how that works, probably something to do with time travel or something, but yeah, it's just you play Death, and the trailer's really cool, it's got a nice feel to it, and gets some action in there, and yeah, it's even if you're not into games, check it out.
Cool. And Chad, what about you, sir?
I was fiddling around on the internet, and I randomly, because internet minutes are not my strong suit in this show at all. I always tend to come up pretty weak. But this time, I just happened to stumble on 13 Worst Ever Movie Taglines. It came out through Time Entertainment. I think I found it through CNN website, actually, to be quite honest. But it goes through some movies over the last bunch of years and like all the taglines when movies are released, right? And one of them is Raw Deal with Arnold Schwarzenegger, and the tagline for the movie is "His trigger has all the answers." Oh, wow. You know, like stuff like that. There's another one, The Impossible True Story, Secretariat, The Impossible True Story. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Grammar 2H. Winning.
Yeah, two agents, one city, no mercy, and that was from Paris with Love with what's his name there, John Travolta and Jonathan Rhys-Meyers.
Oh,
but like, it's no mercy, but it says no merci. Like, come on. But my favorite is the Yogi Bear one, and it says great things come in bears. Okay, and the picture, if you guys go to the link I just posted there, it's Yogi is behind Boo Boo. And if you see the picture, it's number four. Great things come in bears. As bad as it sounds, it's even worse when you see the picture.
Kind of an awkward pairing, is it?
Well, Yogi's behind Boo Boo.
Oh, no. Hey, Boo Boo. Yeah. Great things come in bears. Yeah. When she bent over and picked up with that picking basket?
You see it now? You see it
there?
Oh, no. That's then, rough.
Oh, James Bond, nobody does it better. 13 times. For Octopussy, like, you have the movie as Octopussy, and your tagline is nobody does it better. 13 times. What the fuck? There's some good ones there. But my other one is a movie trailer as well for Cloud Atlas. Have you guys heard of this? It's been a movie in development for quite a few years, or two or three years, I should say. Tom Hanks, Halle Berry, Hugo Weaving, among other people. The guy and girl now It used to be the Wachowski brothers, but is now the Wachowski people that made The Matrix. They came out with this movie called Cloud Atlas. It's just this movie that spans, this love story that spans multiple times, and it's just the way it's presented. It seems really cool. Yeah. It's like they always know each other, and as they're like basically reincarnated in each life, and they always kind of find each other again. But the graphics look really great, like, because I mean, it's the guys that made The Matrix, for God's sake. And it's just, the story is really different, and it comes out in October, and I really want to see this.
Yeah, I'm all for different. You know, I'm kind of done with reboots and rehashes, and how many times can we take something from Britain and redo it poorly in North America? Like, I'm all for original stuff.
It's Warner. It's based on a book, I believe. Warner Brothers has got the distribution to it, but I watched a little thing with the directors, because there's three directors for the movie. And they said, you know, like, okay, yeah. And watch the little featurette through Apple. There's going to be a link in the show notes to the Apple trailers website. And they talk about, you know, that nobody wanted to take this movie on. And nobody wanted to actually release it and, like, put it into production. Because didn't think it made any sense. But, I mean, when Hollywood is consistently redoing the same shit over and over and over again, something like this is going to stand out.
Yeah.
You know, when you get Tom Hanks in it, I mean...
Yeah, I really enjoy Tom Hanks.
Yeah, so...
What's that movie? Is it Iron Sky or Iron in the Sky? It's like aliens and World War II Nazis kind of
merged. Nazis hit on the dark side of the moon and then they come back to reinvade
Earth. And it looks like it's kind of like campy and good-humored sort of movie. I mean,
I guess a sky captain in the world tomorrow.
Sort of like that, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of interested in seeing that. I just, mm-hmm. just to kind of get away from everything getting the Chris Nolan treatment.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Which is what people are saying about Spider-Man.
Well, Superman too, because look, Batman comes to Superman's rescue.
Yeah.
Because Christopher Nolan's the producer for Superman.
Yeah, that's right. And he co-wrote it or consulted on the script? I can't remember.
I think his brother helped or wrote it.
Something like that, yeah.
Jonathan Nolan.
Oh, right.
But this movie is interesting. I watched the trailer, and you're right. I had no idea what was going on. But the only thought at the end of it that popped into my head was, it looks like a sci-fi movie that I could trick my girlfriend into coming to see with me.
Exactly.
Without any issue. It's just like, look, Tom Hanks and Halle Berry are going to do it in different timelines. It's going to be great. So, like, that's the only, that's one thing that jumped into my mind.
The other thing I wanted to talk about, and now I can't top that now, The Life of Pi. Did you guys see the trailer for that?
No.
When I first saw it, it was a 3-minute short at the beginning of Prometheus, and it's a book. Is it Ang Lee? Maybe it's Ang Lee. Who's the, I got to look it up now. Sorry,
guys. Ang Lee's the guy that directed that god-awful Hulk movie.
Yes, and it might be actually him, which is, I'm really sad to say. Yes, it is Ang Lee. But it's a zookeeper's son, Pi, and finds himself shipwrecked. Basically he's set adrift on a lifeboat from this wreck, and they were transporting like this zoo of animals on the boat, and he's marooned on this lifeboat with a Bengal tiger. On the lifeboat. It's just him and the tiger.
Huh.
But if you can watch the previews for it and stuff like that, it looks amazing.
The book was supposed to be phenomenal.
Yes, and I can see why. Like, just based on this with a little bit I saw at the beginning of Prometheus, which wasn't the trailer that's available through IMDb right now, so I'd have to look harder to find it. But it's these flying fish. Like, obviously, there's a Bengal tiger wants to kill you, and you have nowhere to go.
Right.
So, like, it looks, I mean, I'm really excited to see this. Like, Ang Lee, you dropped the ball huge on Hulk, but maybe you'll get a little
redemption
from this one.
Yeah. Perhaps. Right on. Well, that wraps up this episode of the Citadel Cafe in a nice, neat little package. If you'd like to get in touch with the show, you can stop by the show blog at thecitadelcafe.com for our show notes, links and other fun stuff that we talk about. Our show notes are actually written by Ryan's co-host, Jocelyn, of the Gamers In podcast. And we'll save the plug until the end, when Ryan can really kind of give some details as to what they're talking about over on that show. Social for the Citadel Cafe is pretty simple. It's just our show title on Twitter, Facebook, and Google Plus, all lowercase, all one word. And the email, as I mentioned earlier in the show, is thecitadelcafe@gmail.com. If you'd like to leave us a review on iTunes, it's one of the best ways for the podcast to reach new listeners. It's a great way to get the show into some new ear holes. And if you like the show, give us a rating, leaving us a review right here, which we would read. And I'm not going to say we don't have any. I'm going to say that I forgot to check. So if you, if you've left one in the last couple of weeks and we don't read it today, it's because I was pressed for time and I just did not have time to check all the stores for that. So if you happen to leave a review outside of Canada and the US, make sure to drop us a line to let us know that it's there, because we only check the international stores every once in a while, just because it's, you know, it's kind of sparse to find reviews in other languages for this podcast. As I mentioned at the top of the show, I am Joel Duggan. You can find my comic and pretty much all that I'm up to on starcrossedonline.com. If you happened to miss the 10% off original art sale that I had this past weekend, then keep your eye on the store for future sales going into the fall leading up to the HalCon sci-fi and convention thing that's happening here in October that I'm going to be a guest at. So there'll be lots of stuff happening on the website with regards to some art and some other promotions. And of course, you can always follow me on Twitter and Google Plus with just my name, Joel Duggan. Ryan, where can people find you online and what is happening with The Gamers Inn?
Well, you can find me on The Gamers Inn with Jocelyn, as we said before, at thegamersinpodcast.com. And that'll sort of lead you to all your favorite social media networks and whatnot. On the show, we just put one up today where we discussed World of Warcraft, The Mists of Pandaria, where Jocelyn convinces me to actually buy it, and then one of the people in the chat room convinces me to buy the collector's edition. I hate you both. Gah, you know. And then next week, I think we're discussing On Live. It's a streaming game service.
Yeah, I'm really curious to see how that's going to pan out. I like the idea of that.
It is a cool concept, and you can try it for free. There are demos available for pretty high caliber games on there, so definitely check it out. And you can find me on Twitter at rmurphy, and I occasionally talk about stuff that isn't video games. I try. And Ed, Chad, where can the fine listeners find you?
At Chad Merlin on Twitter. That's about it.
Like I said, nice, neat little package. Mm-hmm. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to the Citadel Cafe, where we are fast, easy, and cheap, but you can only pick two.
Music is weird. You know, I've never really understood some of the songs that people listen to, but I'm like a Tragically Hip fan, Foo Fighters. I like the rock music that is rock music, but like the kids are like, no, rock music is Headley and
whatever.
You know, like I'm like, are you kidding me? That's like, that's a boy band with tattoos.